If you can open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Exodus is the second book of the Old Testament. Our message today is going to focus on verse 13 to verse 35. But I'm going to read from verse 22 to verse 26. Exodus chapter 9, 22 to 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky so that hail will fall all over Egypt on people and animals, and on everything growing in the fields of Egypt." When Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder, hail, and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell, and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both people and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. If you're joining us online, and for all of us that are here, this is our confession. That since the Bible is the Word of God, and we are God's children, then we believe that the Bible is God's Word for us. Please pray with me. Father, allow you to speak to us, to allow your Holy Spirit to teach us. We pray that you may give us a teachable heart, and that, Father, through your word, we may accomplish what you intend to accomplish this morning in Jesus' name. You may be seated. We are still continuing with our theme, God's revelation is our invitation. What we say is, and what we see in the scripture, just to remind you, is that every time God revealed himself in the scripture, that revelation was giving people an invitation to be involved in what God was doing. Every time he revealed himself, he was inviting people to be part of what he was doing. This is what he does to Moses. This is what he's doing in Egypt. Every plague is a revelation of God. Every plague is revealing God's power, God's grace, and it is providing an invitation to the Egyptians, to Pharaoh, and to the Israelites to know God, to believe in God, and to obey God. The first time we came to the United States, my wife and I, in 2011, we were attending a conference in South Carolina. And I remember after the conference, we visited the Child Evangelism Fellowship headquarters in Wilmington, Missouri. Warrington. Thank you. Yeah, feel free to correct me. Warrington in Missouri. And that evening after dinner, suddenly we were asked to go to the basement. All of us, together with other guests. And we rushed to the basement because there was a storm coming. This was our first experience at the basement. We could hear the sounds of thunder, and the wind was blowing so strongly, and then it began to rain, and we could see flashes of lightning, and the lights went off. I was beginning to get scared. It was a frightening moment. It was dark, and we had some people with flashlights, and some people were turning on the flashlight on their phones. And then there was a lady beside me who was sobbing. I could hear her crying. And then she started to pray. And in her prayer, she said, "Father, please do not deal with us the way you dealt with the Egyptians. Please protect us from this storm the way you protected your people in Egypt." I have never heard such a direct prayer, such a scriptural prayer. And I listened to her, and when she said, when she was done, I responded. I joined her in saying, "Amen." And a few seconds later, the storm was over. And she looked at me and she said, "The Lord has protected us from the storm." And I looked at her and I said, "Thank you for your prayers." Through his servant Moses, God is sending a message to Pharaoh. And he is telling Pharaoh, there is a storm coming. Prepare yourself. See, God doesn't send the storm without informing Pharaoh. He informs him of what he needs to do to avoid the storm. This is where you see God's grace in the plagues. Because every time he tells Pharaoh, "Let my people go, or I'm going to bring something to you. I'm going to bring frogs. I'm going to turn the Nile into blood. I'm going to bring flies. I'm going to bring an infectious disease that will kill your animals." This is where God is giving Pharaoh an opportunity to respond to his message, to his word. There is only one time that God just did something without letting Pharaoh know. But even when he did it, he was still giving Pharaoh an opportunity to respond. So he sends Moses in a very clear message. He tells Pharaoh that the Lord is going to... Let us look at this message from verse 13. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, just pay attention here. So the first thing he tells Pharaoh through Moses is that you haven't seen anything yet. I'm just summarizing this message. In verse 13 and 14, God says, "I would have wiped you away from this world. I would have wiped the land of Egypt. I have spared you. I have been gracious to you. You haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to send a storm that will be the worst in the land of Egypt." And then in verse 15, he tells Pharaoh that, "I have been patient with you. If you thought that the Lord was unwilling to be gracious to Pharaoh," he's telling him, "Pharaoh, I have been patient with you. I would have killed you. It's the fact that you are still there doesn't mean that I couldn't do away with you. I've just been patient. I've been giving you time." And then he tells him in verse 16, "I will show you that power belongs to me." God is telling Pharaoh, "This is the reason I raised you up." And this is a message that should be sent to each one of us. It's a message that every person in power needs to hear. Because there is no one who can have power unless the Lord allows him or her to have that power. Even the most wicked ruler that you can think of, he wouldn't be there if the Lord had not allowed him to be there. And every time the Lord allows a wicked person to be in power, it is because God knows that he is going to reveal his power. He is going to show him who is more powerful. That's why I would encourage you. So we are in an election year, and you still need to do your civic duty and vote. But when you vote, you also know that the person you're voting for might win or lose. In fact, when you're voting, you're actually agreeing to that. So when the person you're voting for loses, you don't have to cry. In fact, if you're a Christian, you should know it really doesn't matter who is the president as long as Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Why? Because all power belongs to him. Another message that God gives to Pharaoh is that I'm giving you a chance. I'm going to send a storm, but I'm giving you a chance to save your property, to save your animals, to save your people's animals. Because God tells him that take your animal and shelter them. If you don't do that, they will be destroyed by the storm. So Pharaoh knows exactly, he knows what he needs to do to avoid the storm, that is, let God's people go. But he also knows what he needs to do to protect his property from the storm, and that is shelter everything that you have. But because Pharaoh's heart is against God's word, it remains against God's will. Because his heart belongs to other gods, he does not hear what the Lord says. And God says that what he's doing in Egypt will make his name known, not only in Egypt, but in the whole world. I put it to you this morning that what the Lord was doing in Egypt was not only for the benefit of the Israelites, but for our benefit as well. It was to show us the power, the grace that the God we believe in has. And there is something strange that happens here. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, we are told that those officials, Pharaoh's officials, some of them heard the word of God and they feared the Lord and they responded in faith, in obedience. They took in their animals and their slaves and they were protected from the storm. Some of his officials feared the Lord and obeyed the Lord and they saved their properties. And in verse 21, we are told those who ignored God's word, those who ignored the word of the Lord, they lost their property. See, Pharaoh's people, Pharaoh's officials were confused. But some of them, out of the fear for the Lord, might be because of the other plagues they had seen, they said, let us just do it. And you know, this is how we respond to God's word. We either fear the Lord and obey it, or we ignore the Lord and disobey him. We fear him and obey his word, or we ignore him and disobey his word. Pharaoh had a choice, and he chose to disobey. As a child, we have children here. Every time your father or your mother tells you something, you have a choice to ignore them and disobey them, or to fear them and obey them. And this fear is not the kind of fear that makes you want to run away from them. It's not the kind of fear that, it's not negative. You're not afraid of what they will do to you, but it's the fear that comes out of respect. You can ignore your parents and disobey them, or fear them, respect them, and obey them. And we know that the fear of every mother and every father is to raise up a disobedient child. Because once you begin to disobey your father and your mother at home, you are going to have a problem with the law. And you will end up somewhere else, somewhere that you are not intended to be. We are told in verse 26 that the only place that it did not hail, the only place that did not experience the storm, the only place that was saved because God decided to, was Goshen, where God's people were. The storm passed by. It saw God's people. It identified them, and it moved over to the Egyptians. God protected his people. Listen, the same God who allowed the storm to hit the Egyptians is the same God who protected his people from the storm. And this is our message today. Our message today is simple but profound. The God who allows the storm is the God who will protect us from the storm. Let me repeat that so that my son Wilji can hear me. Wilji, the God who allows the storm is the God who will protect us from the storm. Storms will come in our way in many ways. They will come. That's the reality of storms. They will come. They will come in form of illnesses, in form of relationship conflicts, in form of financial breakdown, emotional breakdown. Storms will come. And when they come, they cause damage. They destroy. But the other reality of the storm is that storms don't last forever. And as a Christian, when you look at what is happening in our world, because I believe we have experienced at least two storms as a nation this year. One of them, of course, is the COVID-19 pandemic, which has shaken the strongest nation on earth. That is a storm that the Lord has allowed to hit the world. Another storm we have faced recently is the riots that we've had as a result of the death of George Floyd. That is another storm that we are still reeling from its ruins. It's another storm that we are facing as a nation. And as a Christian, at times you are tempted to ask yourself, why is the Lord allowing this? Why is the Lord allowing all these destructions and all these infections and all these diseases and all these killings that are taking place? Why is the Lord allowing this? And the answer you should have, the answer you should focus on, is that the Lord who allows that to happen is the Lord who will protect you from it. That amen is not convincing, but I believe this is what the scripture is teaching us here. Every time we respond to God's word in faith, we are protected, we are saved, we experience His power. We experience the joy and the peace that reminds us that our God is still in control, even when everything else seems as if it's not in control. And for everyone else who is listening to us online, if you're not saved, all that God is asking you to do is to respond to Him in faith. We know that God loves us because the Bible tells us so. We know that He died on the cross in our place so that we can be forgiven because the Bible, God's word, tells us so. I'm reminded of this song that we used to sing in Sunday school. I don't know if you still sing it. It says, Jesus loves me, this I know. Yes! Yes! The Bible tells us so. Someone asks you, how do I know that God loves me? The Bible says it. And if you don't know any verse, at least know John 3:16. It will save you. Because they might ask you to show them where it says in the Bible. And when they ask, you shouldn't be scratching your head. You should be able to point them to John 3:16. The Bible tells us so. How do we know that the God who allows the storm is the God who will protect us from the storm? The Bible tells us so. We can see it. We see Him allowing the storm in Egypt. We see Him protecting His people from the storm in Egypt. Like Pharaoh, when we ignore God's word, our hearts are hardened. When we consistently ignore God's word, our hearts are hardened. And when God decides to harden our hearts, it is usually an act of judgment. We saw last Sunday in Thessalonians where God decided to give them over to their delusions because they have refused the truth. It's always an act of judgment when God hardens someone's heart. It also tells us in Romans chapter 1 from verse 18, talking about the disobedience and people not wanting to hear the truth, rejecting God's word, claiming to believe, but not allowing Him to take over. accepting behaviors and lifestyles that are contrary to God's word. Not only accepting them, but also approving of those who do them. Romans from verse 18, Romans chapter 1 from verse 18 tells us that. So the question is not whether storms will come or not. Storms will come. But you and I, because of the Christ in us, we know that when they come, the one who allowed them is the one that we can turn to. Because he is the Lord of the storms. He is the Lord above all storms. So Pharaoh refuses to obey God's word. The storm comes, it destroys Egypt. And Pharaoh realizes, we cannot continue like this. So he summons Moses. And this time, turn with me, if you have your Bible with you, to verse 27. Listen to what Pharaoh says. Chapter 9, verse 27. He says, this time I have sinned. This time. He's forgetting that he has been sinning from the beginning. From the first time Moses went to him and told him the Lord has said, let his people go. But he's saying now, this time I have sinned. He continues to say, the Lord is in the right and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray the Lord, for we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer. Pharaoh is making a confession, not out of a godly sorrow, but because of the circumstance that he is facing. He is not responding to God's voice. He is responding to his pain. He is not responding to what God wants him to do. He is responding to what he wants to see happen. This time I have sinned. Pharaoh's confession is a false confession. It is a false confession because Moses tells us in verse 29, Moses replied, when I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands and pray to the Lord. The thunder will stop and there will be no more hail, so you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Look at verse 30. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord. I know that. I know this confession is not a true confession because it has no sorrow. To give you another proof that it's not a true confession, look at Pharaoh's response in verse 34. When Pharaoh saw, after Moses had gone and prayed, verse 34 and 35, we are told, when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and thunder had stopped, he sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts. So Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, we are told that 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, we are told that godly sorrow brings repentance, which leads to salvation. Godly sorrow brings repentance, which leads to salvation. When we confess with an attitude of repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. What Pharaoh is doing here reminds me of what I did one day. We were going out with my wife, and we were ready in the car, just about to leave. Then she noticed something, a stain on my shirt. And she said, "There is a stain on your shirt." And I looked at it. I told her I had seen it when I was wearing this shirt. It's a shirt that I like. But she continued. She said again, "There is a stain on your shirt." I said, "Yeah, I have seen it. And I had seen it before." I'm telling you, there is a stain on your shirt. And I'm like, "What do you want me to do about it?" "You should go and change that shirt." Okay. So I left the car and went inside the house. A few minutes later, I came out wearing the same shirt. And she looked at me and said, "I thought you were going to change your shirt." And I told her, "I decided to change my mind." False confession. False confession keeps us where we have been. It keeps the sin where it has always been. It makes false confession makes us continue in sin because we never changed our mind in the first place. We never turned to the Lord. We never allowed Him to take over. Someone gets saved when they turn to Christ, when they change their mind, when they realize that the path that I have been walking is not the right path. I'm going to change, like the prodigal son saying, "I will go back to my father." Even before he started going, he changed his mind, and then his actions followed. Repentance is a change of mind, and through confession comes from a repentant heart. We confess because we know that God loves us. We know that He loves us. And that's why we confess. We confess because we know that sin is destructive. It destroys. Sin does not make us better. We may enjoy it, but it doesn't make us better. It destroys us. And therefore, we confess because we know that sin is destructive. Number three, we confess when we are sorrowful for disobeying God's word. When you love the Lord and you sin, it makes you uncomfortable. It makes you sorrowful. As a believer, it leads you to confession because you know that you have disobeyed God's word. We confess because we want to restore our fellowship. As a believer, when we sin, sin breaks our fellowship. As a non-believer, you confess not to restore a fellowship, but to start a relationship with the Lord. And this is why we know that Pharaoh's confession was false, because he wasn't turning to the Lord. He wasn't willing to have a relationship with the Lord. Finally, we confess because we know that God is faithful, that He is holy, that He is just, that He is compassionate. He is patient and He is willing to forgive. We confess because we know who God is. This is what the Ninevites did. They turned to the Lord and cried out and confessed and repented from their hearts, and the Lord forgave them by stopping the disaster that He had intended to bring to them. A confession that does not come from conviction cannot produce the required transformation. A confession that does not come from conviction cannot produce the required transformation. Like the lady in the basement. The lady that was crying out to the Lord. My encouragement to you, brothers and sisters, because we know that in the Lord we are in safe hands. Because we know that this Lord, who allows everything else to happen, is able to protect us from everything else that happens. Because we know that when we find ourselves in those difficult moments, those threatening moments, when we find ourselves in that deep darkness, in the valley of the shadow of death, we will turn to Him. You and I will turn to Him because we know that the Lord who has allowed me to be here, the Lord who has allowed this to happen, is the Lord who can protect me from it. And this changes our perspective on suffering. It changes how we view the world. Because as Christians, we know that for us to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Whether I live, it is for Christ. It is for His glory. And when I die, I will be with Him anyway. So for me, I don't lose whether I live or die. That should be our position as Christians. And we will enjoy this life knowing that there is another life waiting for us to enjoy forevermore. The Lord who allows the storm is the Lord who will protect us from the storm. He allows storms because He can control it. He allows storms because He can control them. He allows them because He can control them. He allows storms so we can turn to Him. He allows storms because He is the Lord. Let me finish with this. The disciples were amazed by Jesus. They were in the same boat with Him. When they encountered this storm that was pounding over their boat, and they tried their best as experienced fishermen, and they could not save themselves. They cried out, "We are perishing!" After struggling and struggling to face the storm on their own, they remembered that there is one of us here and he is sleeping. How can someone sleep in a storm for God's sake? So they had to wake him up, complaining, crying out to him. And Jesus woke up and he calmed the storm. He stopped it. And this is you and me. We have Christ in us. And we may face storms in our lives that will shake us. We may face storms in our lives that will make us afraid. But let me tell you, even though those storms may shake us, they won't shake the one who is in us. Even though the storm shook the boat, shook the disciples, it never shook Jesus Christ. The storm could not wake him up. He was in control. He was in control, just as he is in control today. The God who allows the storm is the God who will protect us from the storm. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again this morning
for your love and for your word. I thank you for the promises that you bring to us, the assurance that we have from the scriptures that we are safe in your hands. May you continue to remind us of this truth. May you enable us, Lord, to understand it in our level, in a way that we can allow it to impact our lives. May you use us, O Lord, to encourage others, to remind them that they are safe on your hands, to remind them that you are taking care of them, to remind them that you are in control. And for each one of us here, Lord, because you know us better than we know ourselves, you know the storms that we have faced and some of us are still facing right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit may use this message to minister to your people at their own unique situations. That you may speak to them and redirect them and cause them to acknowledge your presence in their lives and to allow you to lead them through the storm. I know you are able to do it, Lord. May you do it again. In Jesus' name, may everyone say, Amen.